Good morning and a welcome to you all to our Harvest service this morning. Whether you're with us in the church, watching online, or indeed watching later in the day on YouTube, thank you for joining in worship with us together. And a welcome to everybody and a welcome back to Maurice Smith, who is conducting worship for us this morning. It is our Harvest service, and thanks to all who've donated and prepared all the displays that we have in the church today, just celebrating the harvest. We have this evening our Songs of Praise service at 7 o'clock, and despite the Mass, we hope we will make a joyful and hopefully melodious noise as we sing together some people's favourite hymns. That's at 7 o'clock this evening. We have our prayer time on Wednesday at 1 o'clock as usual, and on Wednesday evening our Zoom chat at 7:30. It's not on the screen, but TOFM is meeting in St. Margaret's Hall this Friday morning. Next Sunday, our service at the usual time, 11 o'clock, and then the prayer meeting in the evening, which will be on Zoom at 7 o'clock. Looking forward, one or two other things have been brought to my attention. Again, this next one is not on the on the screen, but it's come to my attention that on Keith Radio's Revving Up spot tomorrow evening at 7 and then again on Tuesday at 11, there's an interviewer involved in that Revving Up spot is Jim Wallace, otherwise known as Lord Wallace, otherwise known as the current moderator of the Church of Scotland, and details about that will be on the email that I put out later in the day if you want to tune into that. Looking further ahead, a fortnight next Saturday, we're holding a talk about, that's the name the session gives to kind of mini conferences that they hold from time to time. It's going to be an open meeting for any member of the congregation. It'll be from 10 in the morning till 12:30 on Saturday the 23rd of October, and more information about that in the coming weeks. And then two further things. You'll remember that some time ago we mentioned the fact that we were looking to appoint an administrative assistant for the church and the work of the congregation. And I'm very happy to tell you that we have indeed appointed, and the person who has will be doing that job is Sandra Dick. So thank you to Sandra, and we look forward to working with you, Sandra, in the days and months ahead. And finally, congratulations to Grant Cumming. Grant, as you know, has been undergoing training for readership, and he has jumped all the necessary hurdles, and Grant will in due course, we don't have a date yet, they don't ordain readers. I think they set them aside. I couldn't remember whether they set them aside or set them apart. And I mean, set them aside sounds a very negative kind of thing, but it's not. But Grant will be indeed set aside for that ministry in due course, and we'll let you know when that's happening. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to be back with you. And I think you're correct, it's set apart, it's not. Yeah, set aside's what you do with a field when you used to get... Yeah. No, set apart's correct. Welcome to worship this morning. We begin our Harvest service with responses from Psalm 65. I invite you to join in the responses. Praise is due to you, O God. You crown the year with your bounty, and your paths overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Let us sing to God's praise. The hymn number 153. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. 153.
Amen.
us pray. Almighty and eternal Lord God, we thank you for this new day. As we come together in worship, we remember your faithfulness in the wonders of creation and in the changing seasons. We rejoice in the myriad things of this fragile planet that provides us with all that we need. Forgive us if we have forgotten that you are the giver of all good gifts. If we have ever taken the earth for granted and neglected where your children are denied the things they need for life and health and fitness. We thank you for the myriad forms of life on our planet, the creatures of the earth and the sea and the sky, the different races and cultures of the world. And today we thank you for the gifts of the harvest and for those around the world who make it possible. Forgive us the times we fail to give thanks for all those we probably will never meet whose work and service supplies and feeds us. When we take others for granted or forget the needs of the poor, the hungry, the sick, or the oppressed. Lord God, in this time of harvest, we thank you for all good gifts around us, for your grace and forgiveness for our failings. Grant us afresh the gift of your Holy Spirit to guide us, to give us strength for each day and hope for the future in these difficult and confusing times. Grant the reassurance of your presence to give us that peace that is beyond all our understanding. And forgive us those times we rely on our own strength and fail to bring our hopes and fears, our joys and tears to you in prayer. For it is only in you that we can find the strength and direction and peace that we need. Lord God, in this time of worship, we rejoice again in your faithfulness and your steadfast love, your grace and your forgiveness revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. As we go into this new week, help us to be ever more faithful in following him, ever more steadfast in our love and care for others, that we might show your compassion and your love to all those we meet, to the glory of your most holy name. For we ask it in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in his words, we pray together as a community of his people, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Is it okay if I come out from behind? There you go. It's okay. I wouldn't want to disappear off the screen. Oh, well, I'm off anyway, so that doesn't matter. I thought since it was harvest, I would show you, or bring to show you, a loaf of bread, which is quite common at harvest. And this loaf of bread was made by my own lily white hands and a bread machine. But it's interesting, we take bread, simple bread, quite often we take it for granted. What goes into a loaf of bread? What goes into a simple loaf of bread? Now, I know that most of you will probably know the recipe. First of all, for bread, we need flour. I won't advertise, I'll show you the back of the bag. You can see it there anyway. So, flour, we need flour. What else? Yeast. We have yeast. Anything else? Water. Good for you. Yep. 300 mils, my recipe has. Salt. Anything else? Sugar. Well done. 1 teaspoonful of sugar, 1/4 teaspoonful of salt. And there's my magic measuring spoon. Anything else? I cheat, I use oil. Much easier to put into bread, oil. 2 tablespoonfuls. That's our bread then. And we put that together in the correct order, put it in the bread machine, press the buttons, and hey presto, after 4 hours, 4 hours, you get a loaf of bread, which is really quite tasty. So is that the bread? There's more to it than that, isn't there? Behind this simple loaf of bread, there's much more than that. What's bread made of? Wheat. 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 I see we've got some grains down the front there. It's made of wheat, which might come from this country, it might not, but it's anyway, it's grown in a field, so you have folks who have to plough the field, sow the crop, treat it for weeds, fertilize it, and then harvest it. So we've got all those folk involved. And then if it's from abroad, we've got folk take it in the lorry to the dock to put on the ship, and then the ship has to bring it here, and it's off the ship, and it goes where after that?
Milling.
Great for you. It has to go to the mill, doesn't it, to make into this beautiful flour. So we've got the miller involved. And then once it's milled, it's got to go from there to the factory, again on a lorry, to be put in bags. And of course, you have to have the folk that produce the bags and print the bags. So they're all involved in it as well. You see where I'm going with this? Bread's not just as simple as we think, is it? Okay, so we've got our flour, which is then transported from the mill. It's bagged and it's transported from there to our supermarkets or shops. And it's sold by the folks that work in the supermarket. So we've got them involved as well. How about this stuff? Yeast. Don't ask me how it's made, because I don't know. Yeast. But what I thought was interesting about this, folk produce yeast, and then it has to be put in a container. This one's actually made of tin. So you have people who mine the tin, process the tin, make the cans, make the plastic tops. So we've got all those folk involved as well as transport. And on we go. Salt has to be produced, has to be transported, packaged, sold. Sugar, actually sugar comes from abroad, doesn't it? So it's got to be transported, it's grown, it's cut, it's processed, it's transported, and it comes here, and again we go through all the folks who transport it and sell it for us. And water. We quite often forget about water, don't we? It has to be gathered, processed, purified, pumped along the lines, and comes out our tap quite simply. There's a lot goes into that loaf of bread, an awful lot of people involved in that loaf of bread, and I've forgotten one important person, the baker. Somebody's got to take all these ingredients and put them in and get a loaf of bread. I did it with a magic machine, and somebody made the machine for me because I didn't manage that. And when I plug it into the wall, there's something comes out the wall that makes it work as well. Electricity, there's folk involved in doing that, or gas. You could go on and on and on. How many have we got so far? Quite a few, isn't it? So harvest is actually about loads and loads of people involved from all around the world producing for us a loaf of bread or other products, pumpkins and apples and carrots, and fabulous. And we should never forget that harvest is actually about a whole world effort to provide food. Nor should we forget that there are many people who don't actually have enough in the harvest. Our next hymn is 230, and it touches on how many folk are involved in the harvest. 230 to the tune Stowe. Put it away. From the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. We read John's account of Jesus' feeding of the 5,000, and Marlene will read it for us.
Thank you. Good morning. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight today, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. During the lockdown, Jan and I rediscovered jigsaws. And over the past year, we have completed dozens of jigsaws. A few weeks ago, we completed one which was a composite of an underwater scene. It had pictures of turtles, sharks, fish, and an octopus. And above the waterline, there were penguins and a wonderful blue macaw. A real hodgepodge of images, obviously put together on a computer. But it was difficult. And we took a week or so to complete it. But for one thing, there was a piece missing. We hunted high and low to no avail. The bit is missing, the piece is missing, and the puzzle is still incomplete. We've done many since then, but it's still incomplete. Today we celebrate our Harvest Thanksgiving. We give thanks to God for the bounty of the earth that sustains us and provides everything that we have, our food and everything else. As we reflected a minute ago, there are many different people involved in providing the harvest that stocks the shops and supermarket shelves despite the present-day delivery problems. Today's gospel reading is John's account of the reading or feeding of the 5,000. I'm sure we can imagine the scene. Jesus had been healing the sick. He could well have been tired. And he took the disciples to try and get away from the crowds for a time. He crossed over the Sea of Galilee. But the crowds still flocked to Jesus. Round the sea they went, on the land. And when he looked up and saw a huge crowd coming, tired he might have been, but he was still caring that people were hungry and needed fed, both spiritually and physically. So he asked one of the disciples, Philip, a simple question: "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And Philip's reply, if we're honest, is one that any of us could have made. 8 months' wages were not buy enough bread for each one to just have a bite. And what Philip was actually saying was, the crowd's too big. Our resources are too small. We can't possibly feed so many. And even if we did feed them, they would only get a bite. So it was madness even to think about it. And then the story goes on to tell us that Andrew came with a young lad who had offered his own food, probably his lunch. And I can imagine the lad hearing Philip's words and saying to Andrew, "Jesus can use my food if he wants." And we've all heard children say things like that, haven't we? Because children can be so enthusiastic and so generous, but sometimes just a wee bit unrealistic because they don't quite grasp the problems. But instead of shushing the lad and telling him not to be silly, Andrew immediately told Jesus, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will that go among so many?" Andrew, too, doubted that much could be done with a few tiny barley loaves and a couple of fish. He, too, thought the crowd was too large, the resources were too small. And yet he brought that little to Jesus. And sometimes we can forget that when we don't know what to do, when we feel that the problem is too big for us, we don't need to struggle on our own. What we do need to do is bring it to Jesus. William Temple was Archbishop of Canterbury in the 1940s, and he said, "When I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't." There's an old saying we all know, "God helps those who help themselves." And surely that's an antidote to any notion that we can sit back and expect God to do it all. That's not why we're here. Yet equally, as the old hymn reminds us, we need to take it to the Lord in prayer so that coincidences can happen. And so that we can discover that God often does things through people, through our efforts, through us. And when we don't know what to do, God does know. Like Philip, Andrew probably thought the crowd was too large, their resources too small, and yet he took the boy with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus. And Jesus got the people to sit down. Sit down on the grass, and then he gave thanks and passed out the bread and passed out the fish. And everyone ate their fill, and everyone had enough. And we are told there were 12 baskets left over. Obviously, a symbolic number for the 12 tribes of Israel. But what did happen that day? Some folks believe it was a miracle, pure and simple. Others believe Jesus' action of sharing prompted everyone else to do the same, so that everyone shared what they had. But the Bible doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that faced with the needs of a huge number of people, Jesus took what was offered, gave thanks, shared it out, and a miracle happened. But what if, like Jan's jigsaw piece, a piece had been missing? What if that young lad, as children can often do, had refused to share what he had? It's reminding me of a story. I don't know if I've told you. I sometimes repeat my stories. You'll get used to it. A young lad had an apple. We've got apples in the harvest. And he had his pal with him. So he said, "Oh, I'll give you half the apple." You ever tried half an apple? There's always a big bit and a wee bit, isn't there? So just as he had done that and had the 2 bits of the apple, the minister walked past, looked at the lad and said, "You know, the Christian thing to do would be to give your friend the big bit of the apple." And minister went in his way. And the young lad looked at the 2 bits of the apple, handed them to his friend and said, "You be the Christian today." What if the young lad had refused to share what he had? Or if Andrew had simply told him that it was stupid to think that he could feed so many with so little? It's a lesson for us about not being put off by the scale of a problem. Instead, offering what we have, what we can. Because we don't know what God can do with what is offered, or what piece we play in the jigsaw. Sometimes when we look at the world's problems, at the sheer number of people who are hungry or homeless or refugees or migrants, it all gets a bit much for us, doesn't it? We don't have the resources. There are too many folks to feed or shelter or help. What can we possibly do? We can't possibly help so many. And yet this story reminds us that God doesn't ask us to do everything. What he does ask is that, like the young boy in the gospel story, we give what we can. We offer what we can. We do what we can. And part of our harvest thanksgiving in church today is an offering of food and other items for the Murray Food Bank to help those who are struggling to make ends meet, folks who sometimes don't have enough to eat or feed their families or pay the bills and put food on the table. And then when we go beyond Murray, when we look at the wider world, we know there are people who are hungry because of drought, because of climate change, because of war, because of natural disaster. People who have no clean water or education or health care. People who are victims of discrimination or oppression. People who are simply denied what they need because of the way the world works. And it's important that we are all part of the jigsaw of prayer and giving what we can, both locally and in the wider world. Of course, there are a huge number of appeals for charity on the television and in the press just now, aren't there? So many that the number can make us all a bit weary. The danger is that people will shut off giving altogether. Like Philip, we might think the problem's too big. What can we do anyway? And to which charity do we give? But when we, like that wee boy with Andrew, offer the little that we can, it can make a difference, and it does make a difference. A report from the charity Tradecraft said this: it's easy to think that the world is worse and poverty is prevalent, as prevalent now as it was 30 years ago. But this simply isn't true. While charitable giving is certainly not the sole reason the world has improved for millions of people living in poverty, it has played a part. Together, we are making huge progress. Fewer children are dying of preventable diseases, more young people are attending school, and more people are living to a healthy old age. Now, that was before COVID. Things have changed since then. We have COVID, we have wars, we have millions of people on the move, refugees and migrants looking for a better life. Many different reasons things have become more difficult for so many countries and so many people around the world. The world's problems just seem to get bigger and bigger. The world's problems can feel too much for us to handle, and in many ways they are more difficult. But there's an old Scots saying that I'm sure you know. Mony a mickle maks a muckle. Translation: many small things make a lot. So while we might not be able to feed all the world's hungry and poor by ourselves, with others in Britain, with millions around the world, giving what we can, doing what we can, actually has made a difference for millions in the world and can continue to make a difference for millions in the world. Because there's always more to be done, isn't there? The report goes on, so the news that the state of poverty in the world is perhaps a little less negative than we thought should act as a call to action. Together, we really do have the chance to help create a world free of poverty. The report then reminds us that helping the poor is about giving. It is about more, though. It's about setting people free. It continues, the best thing about supporting Tradecraft, which is just one of the charities, the best thing about supporting Tradecraft is that you are making a stand on two levels. First, there is providing people with training and practical skills. The report again: in countries across Africa and Asia, we work to provide people with the practical skills they need to increase their incomes so that they can earn more from their hard work. Someone once said, when I give a man a fish, I feed him for a day. When I teach a man to fish, I feed him for a lifetime. And that's the principle on which Tradecraft and Christian Aid and many other charities and governments work, helping people by providing the practical help, the training they need to set them free to help themselves. So that's the first aspect. The second aspect is campaigning for change. The report continues. Through our campaigning work, we call for policies which help people in the world's poorest communities to lift themselves out of poverty. It was a Roman Catholic archbishop in South America called Dom Helder Camara who said this: "When I feed the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor are hungry, they call me a communist." By which he meant that poverty, food, and hunger aren't just issues of charity, they're also economic and political questions. And Jesus' question, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" is one that charities such as Tradecraft and Christian Aid and others address to politicians and governments, economists, multinational companies, asking, how can the world markets, how can the world be organized better so that it's not just for the benefit of the relatively rich and powerful, but also for the benefit of the poor and the vulnerable? And again, that is an essential piece of the jigsaw in which we can all be involved through petitioning for a better deal for the poor and for change in such things as tax rules, working conditions, fair pay, all essential bits of the harvest jigsaw that can help provide. We can help provide what we give in money and support and campaigning to make the world better for all God's children. Today is our harvest service when we rightly give grateful thanks for the good things of the earth we enjoy. Thanks too for all those many people who make the harvest possible. Imagine if every time we went into the supermarket, we picked something up and said, just think of the number of folks that made it possible for that to be on the shelf. We'd never get our shopping done, I have to tell you. But it's quite a thought, isn't it? Everything we pick up, there's a whole string of people behind it. Many of them abroad. Some of them not very well paid. Thanks too for all the folks who make the harvest possible. But the harvest is also a day when we should remember the poor and hungry in our country and around the world who don't share in the plenty of the earth, and remember the essential part, the essential piece we can all be in seeking to answer Jesus' question through giving what we can, through involvement in campaigning for a fairer, more just world, and essentially, as Christians, through taking it to the Lord in prayer, to ask for help and guidance in facing a world problem too big for us, too big for any of us as individuals. Because when we do, coincidences will happen, and God will do even greater things, with the earth's harvest in a miracle of caring and sharing locally, nationally, and throughout the world. Thanks be to God. Amen. For the fruits of all creation, thanks be to God. For these gifts to every nation, thanks be to God. For the ploughing, sowing, reaping, silent growth while we are sleeping, future needs in earth's safekeeping, thanks be to God. And then the second verse goes on. In the just reward of labor, God's will is done. In the help we give our neighbor, God's will is done. In our worldwide task of caring for the hungry and despairing, in the harvest we are sharing, God's will is done. 231 to the tune East Acklam. Now Helen will read us in our prayers of thanks and intercession.
Morning. When I first left home, I was given a Bible. It was the King James Version from my parents, and it was over 50 years ago, and I used to write, copy in little verses and things that I liked in the back. And I came across one the other day about providence, and I thought I'd read it to you. Excuse the old Scots and my pronunciation, but it was written by James Ballantyne, who lived from 1808 to 1877. Confide ye aye in providence, for providence is kind, and bear ye our life's changes with a calm and tranquil mind. Though pressed and hemmed on every side, have faith and ye'll win through. For ilka blade of grass keeps its ain drop of dew. Now for the prayer, let us pray. Heavenly Father, hear our prayer as we now pray for others and for the future of our church. On this day of thanksgiving for the harvest, we thank you for all that we are blessed with here in Moray, while remembering that on our doorsteps up and down the country, there is a need for food banks. Thank you for the talents and work of those who have decorated the church so beautifully this morning. It's a visual reminder of what we should be grateful for. We thank you for farmers who work so hard all year for the harvest to provide us all with food, and pray for those in other countries who face climate change, locusts, droughts and floods, resulting in folk not having enough food to eat and being able to feed their families. As we come to the school break at the end of next week for the Tatty holidays, we ask you, Father, to bless the children and all the teachers and staff. May they enjoy the break, and may the teachers manage to recharge their batteries before facing the busy weeks ahead, leading up to Christmas, with all the changes and uncertainties and expectations regarding what would be normal at this time of year. Nativities, parties, pantomimes, etc. We also remember students who have recently gone back to or just started courses at universities and colleges. Help them to settle in and be with those who are struggling with difficult and uncertain times. We ask that many will find peace, hope, and a faith through the support of Christian unions. We pray, Lord, for those who for different reasons can't sleep at night and never get a night's sleep, and also for those who struggle to get out of bed to face the day, whether it be for physical reasons or problems with mental health. Bless all carers, those who are in employment and those who care at home for family and friends. We pray especially for children carers whose lives and childhood are disrupted and restricted by those responsibilities. May they find respite which they so badly need and deserve. Bless all those who work in the NHS whose lives have been changed by the pandemic, and those who work tirelessly with no idea of what the coming months will hold as winter approaches, and when and if there will ever be some form of normality. Bless their families who are also affected by all the changes to their daily lives. As we face the winter, Lord, please may the vaccine and ongoing research help all those affected by COVID. We ask you, Father, to bless all those who are now no longer in furlough and are struggling financially. Bless their families in these difficult times. Father, be with world leaders and politicians as they make difficult and important decisions. We pray for the coming COP26 conference in Glasgow, involving important decisions on climate change throughout the world. May they find some solutions to some of the problems. We pray for those caught up in the conflict in Afghanistan. Bless families that have been split up and separated. May those who are displaced find a welcome, hope and support as they settle in a new country, a new way of life and a very uncertain future. We pray for those who have been bereaved, recovering from or facing operations and treatment, and those in constant pain, unable to get relief. Give your strength to those looking after them in hospitals, out in the communities and at home. We pray for Breda and the further treatment he is to have. We pray for Francie and the support she gives him for his recovery and return to church. Please bless and be with them, and also with their family and friends in South Africa. Dear Father, you know of all those in need of prayer, especially at this time. In a few moments of silence, maybe we remember those known to us and whom we hold in our hearts. Finally, we pray for the future of the church, for the work Francie is planning and doing in our school. May we be inspired by your spirit to find ideas for the growth of our church and its involvement in the community. We pray for the talk about meeting in a few weeks and that you will guide our thoughts and all that is planned. Bless the newly formed presbyteries and help them with their decisions and plans. All of these things we ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The hymn number 237, "Look forward in faith, all time is in God's hand, walk humbly with him and trust his future plan." 237 to the tune Kadros. Go forth to love and serve the Lord in your love and service of one another. And the blessings of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you, remain with you, and with all those you love, now and forevermore.